This is going to be the concluding message to this particular series I've entitled Grace Giving. Last week, we were in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. Paul was preparing this group of believers and you and me to become generous givers. And I want us to relook at a verse that we looked at last week. It's chapter 8 and verse number 2 before we launch into chapter 9. So if we could see 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2. They are being tested by many troubles. They are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Now, what this was talking about, if you weren't here, I hope you'll go back last week as we broke this down. But it said that they were going through a season of poverty, but yet they were giving anyway. They were joyful. And one of our discussion questions last week was, do you believe that Christ took our poverty? In other words, that poverty is a curse. And some, I said it is, and Christ has redeemed us from that curse. Some of you said no, that poverty is not a curse. And I think we need to define poverty, so I want to touch on that just for about 30 seconds. I think we were both right. I know some of you that said that you think poverty is not a curse. And it was kind of, you were looking in the context of this poverty that they were experiencing, that poverty or that time of season in your life when you're going through difficult times, as you heard my testimony here in this series and before, that I didn't have it to give, but I was still giving, and I was giving, and that my retirement money, everything, I was pouring it all out, as the widow did when we talked about Elisha. But that's not the poverty of curse I'm talking about. The poverty that I'm talking about is that we are, this a lifestyle, that we're walking around saying, oh, I just don't have it to give. My mom and daddy just barely got by, so I guess that's all I'm going to get by. And I'm telling you, that doesn't fit who we are as Christians. So with that said, I think we were both right, Karen, that the poverty in the Corinthian church, when you're going through difficult times, you can have the joy, the greatest joy that you could ever have, when you know that your supply is not what you physically see around you, when your supply is encompassed. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll touch on that again, but I'm telling you, we don't know who we are. And we think just what we have in our physical checking account, what we have in deeds and property, and what we have laying around in the house, that's who we are and that's all we have. That is not true. We are heirs to the throne, okay? All right, with that said, let's move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's jump in. I'm going to move forward to verse number 6. I've got so much to say about one or two of these verses that you're probably going to think I'm long-winded, and that's okay. All right. I think you're going to like it, and you're going to want to go back and hear this message again, and you sit down and soak this up as the Holy Spirit does it over time. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not because the preacher says tithe, not because that's what... that wasn't in there, was it? That fits, though, doesn't it? Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I'll come back to that, those verses in a minute. Now, he begins to, in verse 9, he actually goes back to the Old Testament. I think this is from the book of Psalms, and he quotes this in verse 9. As it is written, he who dispersed abroad, talking about Jesus, he has given to the poor, talking about Jesus, he has, his righteousness endures forever. Now, the first two parts of that, it says he is dispersed abroad. He is dispersed to everyone. God has included everyone when he went to the cross. He's given to the poor. I never saw him make anybody poor. I always saw him blessing people. It says his righteousness endures forever, and I'll touch on what that means in just a moment. But the word here is that Jesus has poured out himself. He gave himself. He gave all of himself at the cross. He became poor that we might become rich, that we talked about last week. He blessed the poor. He fed the 5,000 with just a little basket full of food, didn't he? He was always multiplying. He turned the water into wine. You see, there was a lack there, so he gave them wine when they ran out. Now, I want you to look at this quote on the screen. It's very important because actually this is what God is wanting to continue to do through you and me. All right? Jesus was always pouring out his supply to other people. Now, stop right here a second. Is Jesus limited?
No.
Is heaven limited? Okay, now that's great for Jesus, preacher, but I don't have it to give. Folks, I'm telling you, maybe because you don't have it to give sometimes is because you're not believing who you are. You're not receiving who you are, and you're not giving as the Holy Spirit leads you to do, and you're giving just on the tail end of the harvest. We're going to talk about that in a minute again, but the tithing is based on the tail end of the harvest. You're going to see that multiplication occurs on the front end of the harvest. I'm telling you, God shook up this thing of tithing, okay? And it's a whole lot better than it used to be, okay? Back to verse 9, it says, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, folks, verse 10 in a minute is going to explain what this means for you and me. But Christ scattered to the poor, yes, but his righteousness is also going out. He took all of sinful humanity's unrighteousness and granted righteousness. Is everybody benefiting from that? Absolutely not. They're not believing. They don't even know it possibly yet because you and I hadn't told them, or at one point in time the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed it. But we want to go out and tell. That's part of the good news. That Christ is not mad at you. He's already dealt with everything that you've ever done and has already forgiven it. Will you by faith begin to walk in who you are? You see, but he wants to continue to pour himself out through you. Now, I want you to see this quote. The power to get wealth begins when you believe that God wants you to be a conduit through which he can bless the nations of the earth. Talk about Deuteronomy. Remember we said the power to get wealth is based on Christ's seed, S-E-E-D, capital S-E-E-D. This is an illustration. Back to this quote here, I really believe you'll begin to tap into power to get wealth when you realize that you're just a conduit. This is a water pipe. We use these in the pool business. Most of the time they're bigger than this. But the water flows through this pipe to the destination. That verse that talked about where Christ's righteousness endures forever, that Christ's righteousness wants to use us, we're the conduit, by just believing, just receiving, just letting him yielding to the Holy Spirit. He wants to be we're the conduit. He wants his righteousness, his riches, which could be giving, it could be financial, it could be a kind word, it could be a kind deed, it could be whatever it is we're doing. But he wants us to be the conduit and just open and free and let him give right through us his righteousness. And like I say, I'll get into verse 10 in just a second that really paints a beautiful picture of what this looks like. Actually, let's look at it right now. Verse 10. Now may he who supplies the seed to the sower, talking about Jesus, and bread for food, and supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of righteousness. Now, we're going to spend a good bit of time right here on this verse because I could not get away from it. I was listening to John Sheesby's series. He talked about it and most of it that I heard, and I want to just talk about it here. Look at the first part of the verse. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower. Preacher, I just don't have any seed to sow. I'm just as poor as a church mouse. Where'd that old saying come from? It's the spirit of poverty that we have sometimes in the church. Is this stating fitting? If we're a joint heir of a $10 million estate, would that be fitting? I'm just as poor as a church mouse. I'll help you. No, that's not fitting. Right? God supplies the seed to the sower. It's not your job to come up with the seed to sow. You're struggling and you don't have it to give. Well, maybe let's start praying for God to bless me. Say, Lord, I don't seem to have the seed to sow right now from a financial standpoint, and say, Lord, I'm going to ask you for some seed. You see, then you're expectantly looking, and when you maybe get that bonus, you find that $20 bill laying on the ground, or you get an unexpected blessing or a debt paid off, you're now positioned to say, whoa, I prayed for God to give some seed, and look what He's doing. Now you don't go off and eat it all and spend it all. You see what I'm saying? You begin to, you're conscious to God wanting to be that conduit. Part of the seed, as you're going to see in this message, is designed to sow. Part of it is to eat. It's food to eat. We have to eat, okay? I mean, just look at me. Well, I've got to eat, okay? I've got to take care of my car. I've got to take care of the house and all those kind of things. And God wants to do it all, you see. But He wants us to be conscious. So part of our responsibility, in my opinion, is to determine when money comes our way or whatever blessings come our way, is what part of it is to be sown and what part of it am I to eat or to use to fix stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I have done something this week. I went to the bank, and I actually opened up a separate checking account. And I called it, and all you need to understand why I did this. I'm not saying you need to do it. Ask the Holy Spirit. I need a little help sometimes organizing what I'm doing, so this is a way to do it. And it's a teaching aid to my child also. But anyway, I called it the Carlton Rivers Seed and Family Seed Account. Now, what I've done is I'm going to let Angel's name is on there, and Angel. I put her name on it since I only have one child at home right now. And I want her to have a visual to see, actually, that God, when He blesses us with some things, that it's not to automatically go to the store and spend. It's to stop and say, Lord, okay, what part of this is seed? What part of it do You want me to enjoy? What part of it? It doesn't mean you're so rigid and, oh, I'm afraid I'm not. I may eat some seed that I should have sown. And it's not that. It's if you're conscious and you're letting the Holy Spirit live His life through you, it'll just happen supernaturally. And if you eat some seed you should have sown, God's not mad at you. That's good news. I've eaten a bunch of seed I probably should have sown, right?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what that's referring to over there. Eating a bunch of seed, you can tell. But anyway, it's a visual, and I'm actually, when we put money in it, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us as money comes in, whether it's my paycheck, whether it's an unusual something that comes in. I'm going to be conscious and say, Lord, what part should I put in that seed account? Not saying I won't give from my other account, but once again, I want Angel to know, say, hey, this money is in here. If you're at school, and maybe I'll be giving her a little money, and the kids are going to get money today for free. Not to spend, but to use as seed, okay? But anyway, I may give her some and say, hey, I want you to keep this with you. This is simply for you to give if you're in line and at the store and some other kid just kind of tell they're sad and they don't have any money. That might be an opportunity for you to sow to that child. You see what I'm saying? And you teach your kids to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead them. I know they're going to need a little help. Brandon and Tim, during the discussion time, they're going to give them examples. But you pray, and you're teaching the kids to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? Now, look at this next picture. This is something we used. It's from Christian Financial Concepts. Larry Burkett. How many of y'all have ever heard of Larry Burkett? Great man. I simply use this in the tithing thing, but I hope you understand now you could still do this, though, to teach children. Maybe if you give them allowance, you may say, I want to teach you to save. Maybe one dime goes into the bank. That teaches them about savings. Once again, you pray with the child about what amount do you think we ought to put away, you know, to give. That's like their seed account. For a little child, this is a great tool. These are still available. By the way, you can purchase them, and we used them with our kids when they were little. So anyway, back to the verse. Look at the screen again. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. All of you, you see, just needs to discern what is seed and what is to eat. What's to take care of me? What's for me to enjoy? I'm not your God. The Holy Spirit's job is to do that. Now, look at the next part of the verse. This is the part that I got excited about. It says, supply and multiply the seed you have sown. And we'll talk about that latter part in just a second. Notice how this verse points to Jesus' righteousness. Once again, I want you to think about, it says, and increase fruits of your righteousness. I'm going to touch on that in a second. But everything we're doing in this sowing and reaping deal is all pointing people to Jesus Christ's righteousness. In other words, we want to live a Christian life. We want to live a righteous life so others can see Jesus in us, right? At least I do. Look at what this is doing. Okay? The increase is on the seed side. Look at this again. Supply and multiply the seed. It didn't say pray and ask God to multiply the bread. Let me give you an example. Let's say that I need more money. Anybody ever been in that situation? To repair the car, to pay for the kids' college and school, to get a better car, or to pay a repair on the house, or whatever it might be. And here's typically the way we pray. We say, Lord, I need more money for, and we call it out. Well, what if we look at this thing a little bit differently, and we, remember, we said in this series, God is telling us to quit focusing on human reasoning and human understanding. I need more money for the house or for this repair. Human reasoning says, I don't have it. Well, I got to go searching. I got to go doing this or whatever. We begin to pray for it. That's human reasoning. What if the Holy Spirit was trying to turn this thing around a little bit? What if you begin to pray for more seed to sow? Does that defy human reasoning? I guarantee you it's of God then. Isn't that true? Typically, it goes right against, you see, what we think. God, it says He's going to multiply the seed that you have to sow. And then, by the way, the more seed that's sown, the more you get more seed to sow. And guess what? A byproduct is more food on the table. Isn't that cool? I'm asking the Holy Spirit to touch you like He did me. I was about having a fit running around praying and looking at this message this week. By the way, in the meantime, when you're looking for money to do whatever, remember we said giving is not just about finances. Maybe a seed you need to sow when you don't see a seed come in that God has blessed you with, it's a financial seed. It could be, hey, I'm sensitive so much at work, and I hear Miss Susie's having trouble and sick in the hospital. Maybe I go get a rally, my small group here or a few at the church, say, hey, I need some help to go minister to this family. We're going to take them a meal this week. You see what I'm saying? This thing goes way bigger than just our money in the bank, you see. It could be to mow a neighbor's lawn and bake them a cake. Do some act of kindness, you see. Okay. We're still looking at verse 10. Now may He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of righteousness. Holy Spirit giving is based on the seed on the front end of the harvest. In the old covenant, you give off of the harvest. And I love what Miss Colleen said last week. Look at this on the screen. She said, tithing requires no listening to the Holy Spirit. We just write a check and we've done our Christian duty. Isn't that pretty cool? I said, you know what I told her? I said, you were listening to the Holy Spirit. Look at this next slide, because this is what we said and this fits exactly what she's saying. God is moving us away from human reasoning to Holy Spirit revelation. Holy Spirit revelation requires us to be sensitive. It requires us to think before we give necessarily to the church. I'm afraid some of y'all are going to quit giving when I tell you that. Ask the Holy Spirit to give. You may give more than what you've been given. You may give a little less because the Lord knows maybe somebody coming up this week may need it more than we do here. Wow. I'm a brave preacher. Whew. I'm afraid to turn y'all loose. Hey, by the way, I did a study. I looked online. It's a 2 or 3 years old Barna group. Only 10% or less than 10% of those that actually are come that are hearing tithe, less than 10% actually tithe. What we're doing is not working because maybe we're teaching it wrong. Wow. Could it be? Wow. Holy Spirit brings a need to your mind next week, you know what you need to be saying? Lord, what's my part here, if any? You see, you're just so sensitive to giving because you know how much Christ has given to you. He's given himself to you. He's given everything to you, you see. Now look at the last part of the verse. I told you I was going to get to this part. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Remember verse 9, it talked about Christ's righteousness is unending, endures forever. Folks, his righteousness is going to go out. The blessing that you and I have, are you listening? Say amen.
Amen.
This is so important. The blessings you and I have is that we're that conduit that Christ's righteousness can be seen with this act of giving. Wow. I heard one preacher say that actually you can increase your righteousness. That's really not true. And it came across like, well, I'm more righteous. No, we have all the righteousness that Christ has. That's been granted. You can't earn more righteousness. However, we can show our righteousness to other people more, right? We can live out who we really are. Folks, this is a grace gift. I'm telling you, grace is threaded from the Old Testament to the New, and it should be every part of who we are. It's a grace gift. As you sow, you're channeling what was given to you in the first place. You don't have seed to sow, you begin to pray. He supplies seed to the sower. Lord, you supply me what you want me to sow. You see, it's all him. It's all grace.
Amen.
Wow. Look at this next quote on the screen. The power to get wealth is in Christ's seed, capital S, being sown, and then we reap more seed to sow and more to eat and enjoy. A byproduct of this process is that more of Christ's righteousness is seen through us by the world. What a deal. That's new covenant giving right there. Now, as you begin to implement this financial policy, this giving policy, this new covenant way of doing things, God grows you spiritually and you become more and more like your Father who is a giver. If you don't have a spirit of generosity, you never have an inclination to give or do something kind to somebody else. Folks, you need to go back, as Paul did to the church at Corinth. They were blowing it and they were messing up right and left, weren't they? And he spent a whole lot of the time in 1 Corinthians, first few chapters, telling them who they are in Christ. I'm not preaching how much Christ has given to you if you're still struggling with this thing of giving. We need to go back and say, wait a minute, I'm not living out who I am. Christ is generous. He gave himself, and now I want that same mentality, that same attitude to be seen to other people. Now, look at verse 11. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You see this formula that you're operating under? You're operating under a grace formula that touches your life in everything. It says, while you are enriched in everything. It's a lifestyle. Everything. This generosity, you see. And it says it causes thanksgiving to go back through us, back to God. You see, God gives us seed to sow. We sow. God blesses that, multiplies that, and so forth. And now it causes thanksgiving from a lot of other people as well as us right back to God. And then he gives us more seed. We sow. You see that circle of just giving praise and glory back to God with what he's doing? So giving is a fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is, y'all help me out, love, joy, peace. Is it just limited to those few things right there? No. Giving is a fruit. Thanksgiving is a fruit. All these kind of things that we want to do is the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, that's not your job to produce any of that. It's your job to be a conduit. You follow me?
Amen.
Same thing with giving. Now, as we wrap this up, last few verses, look at verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, say thank God,
yes.
But also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorified God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. By the way, I could talk a lot about this right here, but the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is tied in to this thing of giving. You follow it? Righteous, Christ's righteousness being seen through us as we give, and so forth. Verse 14, and by their prayers for you, who long for you because the exceeding grace of God in you. I love it. The grace of God is everything. The loving grace of God is everything. Thanks be to God for His incredible gift. Glory be to His name. Folks, there's power in sowing as the Holy Spirit leads you to sow. As we close, I want to back up to verse 6 and 7. In my opinion, I believe New Covenant giving is based on these two verses. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one, here it is, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. A few discussion questions. Number one, how is new covenant grace giving different from old covenant giving? Number two, what are some practical ways we can begin to focus on sowing for the harvest instead of praying for the harvest? And this is a question that you ask that I'm curious to see how you're going to handle this. Well, the Holy Spirit is through you. I had asked for the benefit of our guests and those that are back. I have had a lot of questions thrown at me. I said, give me the questions and we'll try to answer them in this series. This is one of them. What if you and your spouse are not agreeing on giving? In other words, maybe it's how much to give, that kind of thing. Okay? You can tell I don't have the answer, so I'm going to let you come up with that one. All right. I'll be back. Y'all enjoy this discussion. Just so you know what we did for our youth, we gave them $5 apiece from the youth down to the children, asking them to pray. We're giving them ideas of what God might do. But we're trying to teach them to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, young people, this is not to go spend for yourself, okay? Maybe you might get a little more to spend for yourself if you sow this right. How about that? The more you sow, the more you're going to reap, okay? But anyway, but pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you what to do with it. Now, I know y'all came up with some great ideas. Any word from you guys back there on any of these questions first before we go to the adults?
I think a good way to think of number one, you know, how's the new covenant grace different from the old covenant giving? And I think the biggest way, or the biggest things you could say is old covenant giving was more in fear, and new covenant giving is more in love. So old covenant giving was the fear of falling from God's grace. It compels you to give. That fear of not receiving the love, receiving His grace. But in New Covenant, it is, I've accepted His grace. And I understand there's nothing I can do to separate me from God's love. So I'm giving out of that love.
Wow.
And that's the biggest difference I think I see in number one. Another thing, too, is, you know, ever since Diane and I started coming here, it's really funny how the jargon, the words, the way you not only think about things but talk about things change. Because, you know, whether we be out at a restaurant or, you know, we see someone on the side of the road or have even a family member that's down, the wording really does change your mind on certain aspects. What I mean by that is, you know, the way that now there are certain times when we had a really good conversation with a waitress, and, you know, she might have three babies at the house. It's in the holiday season, and she's like, you know, yeah, we're lacking on this and that. By the end of the meal, I look at Diane, and I'm like, I feel really compelled to give to this person. So I'll be like, you know, should I give her, you know, a $20 tip? And Diana goes, you know what? Give what God is compelling you to give. Give what you. So I go, okay, 30. And she goes, if that's what you feel. And I go, 40. She goes, all right. But the funny thing is, by the time we end up, we might have a $40 tab, and I'll end up giving her a $40 tip.
Wow, awesome.
But that was the thing, was it's back and forth. So this is another thing where the jargon, because, you know, when we first started dating, it might have been going, you know, all right, the cutoff's 30. or the cutoff is 15. You know, feel compelled to give in that region. But it's the way we discuss things. The first words out of our mouths, whenever we can see it, usually we can see it in each other's eyes before we verbalize what we're thinking, and we'll cut each other off and go, give what you get, what you're compelled to give.
Right. If you're the one feeling this call, then
yeah.
That might help answer number three. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Good word.
I just think that was awesome. I was actually just sharing with Pastor Carlton something similar to that. So it's so cool to be somewhere with awesome like-minded people. We were in a restaurant and you know, we were led to give. I think the tab might have been like $19 or something, and we ended up giving like a $20 tip. Same thing. And I was talking to my father. All the way in Mississippi, you know, he's tapping into this message and the grace message and everything, and we were talking about the same thing. So I think God's going to do some cool things with some in some restaurants. But I do want to share this, not particularly to answer a question, but as I was sitting back here just, you know, kind of thinking about, you know, the messages and this series, it's just making me want to give. You know, I mean, am I alone in that? It just makes you want to give.
Here you go.
You know? But, you know, I'm just sitting there and I'm back here thinking like, man, you know, this is so awesome and it's so freeing. You know, there is no formula to follow other than to listen to the Holy Spirit. Mm. So I just wanted to share that.
Awesome. Awesome. I was hoping you'd share, Eddie. I miss your comments.
But, you know, one thing I thought of is when you were talking about, you know, we read where it says the righteousness of Christ, and then later on it says the fruits of your righteousness. And as I was looking at those passages, it just makes you realize the only reason it's my righteousness is because I received that gift. Everything is God's gift to us. And once Christ's righteousness is offered to me and I begin to become a receiver of what Christ is providing, then it's my righteousness, not because I became more righteous, but because I'm now receiving it. And now that I receive it, it begins to bear its fruit. And those passages together really kind of spell that out. And I want to read one more passage that I think kind of falls into that. In Jeremiah, God says, "Then it shall be to me for a name of joy and of praise and of honor before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear of all the good that I do for them," talking about God's people, "and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it," or for his people.
Wow.
So when we are living as receivers of Christ and receivers of grace and become conduits of grace, and God begins to reveal himself to the world around us, the world begins to fear and tremble. You know, we think of fear and the fear of God is, in fact, I had a lady once tell me, we were at a restaurant with, or a restaurant, Jack's, that's my expensive restaurants I go to. And she said, you know, you should be afraid of God because, you know, she heard us having a Bible study. I said, well, you know, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Fear of God doesn't mean be afraid of God. It means that you're honoring him, what he has said, and here he has given all this prosperity. And prosperity isn't just money. That's what throws people off. But as we are receivers of God, the world around us fears, and it causes them to tremble. What is God doing? And the question I have is, do you see the world doing that to the church today?
Wow.
And why not? It's still there. God hasn't changed. We've turned a Christ-centered gospel into a man-centered gospel, and God doesn't honor that.
Wow. Good word. Anyone else?
Well, what I have to say is not on the questions, because we didn't really focus on the questions, but it was about the money. I have two friends who are actually, they're both going through a depression right now, and I didn't know until just last night that both of them were going through a depression. And I've been handling with one of my friends who's been going through suicidal thoughts for about a week now. And last night, I found out that they're both depressed, and they're constantly arguing over who's more depressed. And they both think that no one else cares but me. So I'm stuck in the entire center of all this arguing, because they both go ranting to me. But I sit there and on the phone with them or on Wattpad with them and just talk to make them feel better. And basically what I do is I end up distracting them until they feel better.
Wow.
And so with the money, I was thinking about actually buying them both gifts or whatever, because I know things they like, to make them feel better by themselves, to let them know that I really do care, because sometimes they'll both go through feelings where they're like, that I don't care about them, but I really do in the end. But I want to do this that way they know that the money I bought them this gift with was the money that was given to me so I could plant my seed and sow or whatever. I can't remember how to say that. Let them know that God loves them and that I was given the money by God to go out and help them feel better about themselves.
Mm. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
If you give money to the homeless, it's like a seed that you give to them. And once you give the money to them, you can say that God gave me this to give to you.
Wow. I like that. He said, if you give money away, say God gave it to me so that I could give to you. You see, he's giving credit to God. He supplies the seed. I can't wait to see what's going to come of just this little $5 thing. I hope y'all will come back and share some things God did.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited to hear their stories. Diana said, because she's not actually working and earning any income, I don't have, you know, something to give. But there's two scriptures that when Moses and God were having a conversation, and God said to him, "What is in your hand?" And it was only a stick. And he had him throw down the stick. And the other was when Peter came to heal the man at one of the gates, and he said, "Silver and gold, I don't have money, but what I do have, I will give to you." And he gave him healing. So there's so many things. It's not just money, but it's what's in. Because God said that to me a long time ago when I didn't have anything. Well, what's in your hand? What can you do? We each have something in our hand because he's given us all gifts and talents. So What's in your hand that's special to you that's significant that God has put in you, what that you can give back?
Awesome. One thing when she was talking about these kids, even if it's not money, you know, a lot of times if they're depressed, did I hear you right? This go talking about being depressed is begin to say, well, you know, part of sometimes overcoming depression is realizing that God cares for me. And did you know that He loves you and He's so proud of you right now? You know, that fits what she's saying. It's not a monetary thing, but it's being a conduit of what God says about them. And so, anyway, just a cool.
Just, I was thinking about something with question number three. What if you and your spouse are not in agreement on giving? And I wanted to, I don't really want to put you guys on the spot, but it's the only way I can, just to ask this question. How did you guys come to a place to where if one person says, I want to give this amount, the other person is okay with it, as far as saying, well, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do that, then I'm fine with it?
I'm going to answer this one since, I mean, Brett does make all the money, so it's me that should be a little bit more reluctant, I guess. I can't tell you when it started. I don't remember ever being like, oh, please don't give your money away. I think partly I was raised in a way that we, especially with waitresses, it's never give little, because we've all been there. Waitressing is not easy. So I just have always been like, if I don't really feel it, like, I don't feel anything, and Brett feels it, I'm like, I don't know, I can't answer that question for you. God didn't tell me. I'm sorry. You have to do it.
Awesome work.
Most of the time, it's just not, like, the Holy Spirit didn't press me, so it's not something I even feel like I can answer.
All right.
Well, okay, there was, Mom and I were in the fabric store, which, we love the fabric store, but, I like looking in the remnants bin, which is basically just a little bit of fabric of one pattern left over that they can't sell to really make anything with. And I went over there and I was looking, and there was a bunch of rolls of Polartec, which is like fleece you guys are familiar with. So I was like, Mom, this is on sale, and if we put it in the car and we see homeless people, because Brett and I live in Lithia Springs, and so there's normally a couple people in the Douglasville area that are on around the exits that stand out and basically ask for money. And we've given to them before, but it was really put on my heart that the blankets, and it's not something, like, I didn't stand there and think about it for a long time. It was just touched, so I can't explain it, but we have blankets for riding around in the trunk of our car just in case we see somebody.
Awesome.
Haven't seen anybody yet, so I hope it doesn't get too warm before they get out of the car. Okay.
Awesome. Yes.
Sorry to have you running back and forth. The reason that I asked that question is that question kind of hits on marriage ministry to me. That's an area that Pamela and I are really, really passionate about. And definitely praying about some things as far as that ministry is concerned. But I was interested to hear that question. I think it's a beautiful thing when if one person hears something and they're led by the Holy Spirit and the spouse has come to the point to where they say, you know what, I trust God. And if you're hearing from God, I'm cool with that. You know, it's taken us quite a while to get there. Pastor Carlton knows I'm kind of a out of the box kind of guy, and my wife is like, "Whoa, wait a minute! What did God tell you to do that?" Because if He told you, I'm cool. But if He didn't, then we're gonna have a problem. So, you know, and that's how it's been. But anytime He instructs me, it's always a good thing. So, thank you for sharing.
Amen. And, you know, encourage your kids. They may come home and say, Dad, I'm really feeling like I need to do this. And you've got this seed money if you're doing something similar to what we are. And that money in there is just as much theirs, I think. You know what I'm saying? Just encourage. I want to teach these kids young. They'll get it. We too stubborn.
I think another way to think of it, like I said, is it's kind of like, it was a mind change, the way that we thought about things, the certain things, the certain blessings and the things we were receiving, but maybe not that we understood that we were receiving. But for example, you know, when I think about giving and with me and Diana or me and a family member or me and someone else and us coming to an agreement, in my mind, if we truly have established the connection we want with God through grace and love, it's not really, there can't really be a disagreement. What I mean by that is, you know, the way that I think that Diana and I develop our love, you know, in a way that I know a lot of people do in here as well, is that we recognize that if we just accept the truth, we accept God's grace and love into our heart, it will flow through me into her and vice versa. Basically, we've basically become, you know, conduits, or we've become sources for God to love one another. So it's almost like God's talking to Himself in a way, with the way the Holy Spirit's moving. So why would God disagree with Himself? That's kind of a way, I guess, we could kind of, you know, quantify or think about it a little bit. But then it also brings up the question, how do you quantitate God's love? You know, like with money, when you get into, oh, how much. You know, if I really want to show this person God's love, and this isn't really something you're really thinking in your mind, this is something that's flowing through you, but if you actually stop and think about it, how can you quantitate God's love? You can. I mean, it's everlasting. It's ever flowing. It's continuous. So, but I think a good way to, yeah.
Okay, I wanted to add one more thing. Sorry. I think what makes it easy for us to be in agreement with each other, even if we don't have the particular leading, is recognizing that He has certain gifts and talents that I don't have, and that we were designed differently.
That's right.
And I'm okay with that.
That's right.
So I think
and that's why I said that about, if you're not, you don't have the gift of giving like your spouse does, that's not a negative to you. You got some gifts he don't have, or she got some, so forth. So, all right. Any other word? Lord, thank You for today. Thank You, Father, for giving us a spirit of generosity, of love. Father, thank You that You have broken that old poverty mentality that we're just nothing, we're just getting by, and that's not who we are, and I'm thankful. But Lord, on the flip side of that, when we do go through those seasons of just enough that we talked about, the children of Israel in the land of 40 years, they had just enough for the day, that we still go through times like that, but we can go through them not with the spirit of poverty. We go through them with the spirit of love, of generosity, like the Corinthian church was doing, and that we give even when we don't think we've got it to give, as you lead us. And then I believe you move us out of that time frame of just enough, and now we're experiencing the weekly supply, the yearly supply, and so forth. And but whatever it is, whatever our surroundings look like, whatever our bank account looks like, whatever our gifts look like that we think we don't have or do have, Father, we're just to operate out of you. You own it all, and God, you can supply finances, you can supply security, love, whatever it is that we need at just the right moment. And Father, we want to walk in that. That's who we are. And I just thank you for the liberty and the joy that comes from knowing, Father, who we are in you. And I pray that we just continue to grow in that. Thank you for in advance for what you're going to do with that $100 that was given out in $5 bills to all these kids. And God, thank you for what you're going to do through us this week as we begin to give out of the overflow of what you've given us. And Lord, you're going to multiply the seed. You promised that. And we're going to look for it. And we're going to turn around and give more seed. And you're going to bless us even more. And I'm just, it's such a joyous thing. And I pray that you'd help us to get it, help us to go back and listen to this sermon. Again, read these scriptures carefully, slowly, and just let this new mentality, this new covenant giving, take over from the old covenant giving. In Jesus' name, amen.